This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Later on, Lily Tomlin appeared as her character Ernestine at a California rally in support of the Medicare for All single-payer system. But first...
One of the critical issues, surely, for the election season and for our lives. Medicare for All, a better prescription for a healthcare solution. Bernie Sanders is at the forefront over a national debate on improving our healthcare system with his proposal for a single-payer structure, shorthand for Medicare for All. Meanwhile, in New York State, Assemblyman Richard Gottfried's single-payer legislation did pass the Assembly with wide support from organized labor as well as a multiple of community advocacy and healthcare professional organizations. While discontent arises over Obamacare, as insurance companies increase our out-of-pocket expenses, the Gottfried plan would provide a comprehensive universal insurance program for all New Yorkers without deductibles, co-pays, and would eliminate restrictive provider networks.
Gottfried's plan would begin a march to Medicare for All nationwide, the same state-by-state way the Canadians began their successful single-payer system. Gottfried said, "Healthcare reform has done a lot of good, but it still leaves us in the hands of insurance companies. Single-payer would save the billions of dollars that we now spend on insurance company administrative costs. You and your doctor would work to keep you healthy. New York Health would pay the bill with funding from broad-based revenue based on ability to pay."
And we'd like to welcome Assemblyman Dick Gottfried. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So first of all, are you excited that we have Bernie Sanders in the sense of having evoked from the populace and provoked a debate that raises, probably in a way that we haven't been seen before, the issue of a single-payer Medicare for All healthcare system?
Very definitely. I think the fact that Bernie Sanders has put improved Medicare for All, single-payer coverage, in the spotlight in this year's debates has been enormously valuable. So many people would say, oh, everyone knows single-payer is the only sensible way to do things, but it'll never happen. We're working to change that conversation so that people understand that it is something achievable. I believe that the more people talk about the issue, hear about the issue, that helps change it from being could never happen to being achievable and then to being almost inevitable. So I'm really very excited about all the discussion this year. I've been in this effort for since the early 90s. Time not only has come, but is long overdue.
And what is there in the Affordable Care Act that needs to be built on or improved?
You know, the Affordable Care Act, well, does a lot of improving in an insurance-based system. The problem is that it leaves us with an insurance-based system, and that means rising premiums that have no relation to ability to pay, more and more plans with large and growing deductibles and co-pays, and restricted provider networks with no out-of-plan benefit. You know, there's a Chinese expression, you cannot carve rotten wood. There's just so much improvement you can make in an insurance company-based system when you have to realize that you really can't get there from here. It really requires fundamental change. You know, almost every problem that we face in healthcare, whether as patients or as healthcare providers or taxpayers or employers, is made worse and harder to solve because of the fact that we have this insurance-based system, and it's got to change. You know, before the Affordable Care Act was passed, a lot of people said, well, why don't we try something like Massachusetts did, see if that works. Well, that's what the Affordable Care Act is, and it's now pretty clear that while it has fixed a couple of problems, it has left us with all of the big problems of the insurance industry.
And a lot of people are very concerned about the implementation of the so-called Cadillac tax in a couple of years. Could you comment on that?
The so-called Cadillac tax is the Affordable Care Act's way of of trying to, you know, essentially punish health plans that are considered too generous. And so it says that if you've got a plan that spends more than a certain amount or is better in, by a variety of criteria, it's going to be paying a huge tax, literally a tax to the government. That's either going to make these plans, and a lot of union negotiated plans are in this category, it's either going to make them impossibly expensive, or it is going to force unions and management to retrench and have much less reasonable plans, which means that workers will either go without care or more and more of the cost of care will be pushed onto the backs of workers who are the least able to afford it.
One of the things that I'm concerned about, and I wonder how you feel about this now, in Vermont, there's been a setback. The governor reversed his position on supporting a single-payer healthcare system. So why do you think it would work in New York?
You know, in Vermont, there were a couple of problems. One was at the point where the governor would have had to go ahead or not with a tax package, he was really on thin ice politically. He had just come through an election in which he only got a plurality of the vote, which meant that his election was in the hands of the legislature. So he was in a very dicey position. And under their plan, they left out of the plan some of the largest employers in the state, which means they lost out on a lot of the savings that come with a single-payer system, and they lost out on a lot of the revenue that would have come from including the biggest and highest wage employers. So naturally, the taxes look out of control. We've done a very detailed economic analysis how the New York Health Act would be financed in New York, and what we found was that 98% of New York households will be paying less in the premiums that will be owed under the New York Health Act versus the premiums and deductibles and other out-of-pocket costs that people now pay. You're going to have to be a very wealthy taxpayer to be paying more under the New York Health Act than you are spending today. And, you know, one of the reasons why those numbers work is that New York is about the world's most amazingly productive economy. It distributes its productivity unfairly, but it generates a huge amount of income. And that will enable this plan to work very economically. It's also not clear, by the way, that in Vermont they really took a full accounting of all the savings that would come with a single-payer plan. But we have had a solid academic study done of the New York Health Act, both the savings that it will produce by eliminating insurance company administrative costs and the administrative costs that providers spend for fighting insurance companies. And even after you account for picking up out-of-pocket expenses and covering the uninsured, we would be saving $45 billion a year in New York.
There has been an enormous amount of support, certainly in New York, from both public and private sector organized labors. What would be the significance of this for the large number of undocumented workers who are not protected?
Well, first of all, let's talk a little about organized labor, because organized labor is the most potent political force in New York State, and union-negotiated health plans are increasingly seeing that it's becoming really unaffordable and is sucking all the oxygen out of the room when they have to sit down and negotiate with management. And all the resources go into defending the union health plan, and there's nothing left over practically to fight for wages and other benefits. For undocumented New Yorkers, the plan would cover everyone who is here, as I always say, you know, however they got here, whether they, you know, fell from the sky or what have you, every New Yorker would be covered. But we've actually done that in New York before. In 1990, when we enacted our child health insurance plan, we covered every child in New York who is income eligible without regard to their immigration status.
Could you give us an idea of what kind of coverage we're talking about, and especially also with regard to that, whether drugs would be covered?
Yeah. Well, it would be the most comprehensive coverage that anybody in New York has or has ever had. It would cover anything that is now covered by any of the following: Medicaid, Medicare, the public employee health package, the mandates in the insurance law, and anything else that the program chooses to add. So it would cover doctors, non-doctor healthcare professionals, the hospitals, prescription drugs, dental, vision, all of those things would be covered, and they'd be covered better than we now have because there would be no restricted provider network. There would be no deductibles or copays, no financial barriers to healthcare whatsoever, which to me is what it ought to be. If you believe that we have an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you can't achieve those things if you've got if you have financial barriers to healthcare.
We are speaking with Richard Godfrey, the chair of the New York State Assembly Health Committee, and we are speaking about Medicare for All. Some people refer to it as single payer. And one of the things that I was interested in, so at this juncture, what has to be done to get the Senate to take up the bill? Now, I mentioned that it passed the new assembly, but certainly, how do we get it passed? What needs to be done organizationally to get it through the Senate?
To get it passed in the state Senate, my colleague, Senator Bill Perkins, who carries the bill in the state Senate, as he puts it, we either need to change some minds or change some personnel. And I guess realistically, it may require changing some personnel in the state Senate. What I believe is that as this issue becomes more known to more New Yorkers and people come to see it as something that is really achievable, then it becomes something that people are going to demand of their candidates. You know, just as today people say, you know, where do you stand on school aid and what do you feel about clean elections and ethics and the rent laws? I think if people start asking their candidates, where do you stand on getting rid of the financial barriers between me and my family getting health care, I think that's going to help change the character of the state Senate.
And what about the Independent Democratic Caucus and also our dear governor?
You know, I think the Independent Democratic Caucus, so-called, you know, they're part of the groups that we're looking to persuade. And I expect they will be easier to persuade than Republicans. And also, if we elect three or four more Democrats, I think all of a sudden the state Senate changes dramatically. And I think in this year's election, that's a real possibility. As for the governor, we haven't approached the governor yet. I think to bring him on board, we need to bring a lot more public and labor support, a lot more political support in the legislature. You know, without outing any of his staff, I would say that if this were put to a vote of health policy people who now work for the state of New York in the executive branch, I think it would pass.
Assemblyman, you've already indicated that it would be a tremendous boon for labor by taking health insurance off the table, which would free up money such as for wage and pension increases.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your thoughts on the public sector unions, such as the teachers unions and CSEA and PEF. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it also have special significance for them?
It would, in that they have very good health plans, but are very expensive to sustain. And, you know, politically, you've got people in the private sector who look at the pensions that public employees get and the health benefits, and they say, you know, why are you folks getting this and I don't? I'm paying the taxes for a school teacher who makes more than I do to get good health coverage. The New York Health Act would eliminate that whole dynamic. Every New Yorker would have the same health coverage that Michael Bloomberg or George Soros or the governor or me or the janitor where they work would all be in the same boat with the same top-notch coverage. And by the way, several of our public employee unions are very much on board. The New York State United Teachers, the UFT, is on board, the New York State Nurses Association, which will point out to you that their largest bargaining union is the New York City Public Hospitals. So they are in many ways a public employee union. So there are both public and private sector unions on board. One issue with the labor movement is that for labor leaders who run for re-election among their union members, they consider the union health plan a big plus as, you know, what they deliver for their members. And it certainly is, but I think more and more union leaders are coming to understand that it's really an albatross around organized labor's neck, because it's becoming more and more expensive, more and more, the plans are getting more and more restrictive, and the New York Health Act would really free up unions to focus on wages and vacations and other benefits.
And one of the things also that would seem to me is quite significant here is that it would eliminate the portion of taxes paid by localities to also cover Medicaid.
Yes, there are two real tax benefits to localities. Number one, New York is the only state in the union that requires counties and New York City to pay part of the cost of Medicaid, and under the New York Health Act, we would end that. The second way it would benefit municipalities for every level of government, since they are employers, and they are employers that typically have fairly good employee health benefits, by dramatically lowering the cost of health coverage, it would especially benefit cities, counties, towns, the state, and in turn, lighten the burden on taxpayers.
So in the remaining minute that we have left, Assemblyman Dick Gottfried, why do we need a single-payer healthcare system, Medicare for all? Give us that wonderful soundbite.
We need to get rid of the financial obstacles between families and healthcare and financial stability. We need to get insurance company costs out of the picture, and we need to distribute the cost of healthcare more fairly. And that's what improved Medicare for all would do.
And we need to tell every one of our legislators to get on board with Medicare for all support single payer system, right?
Absolutely. And it may take a long time for it to happen in Washington, but in a state like New York, I think we can get it done.
And that's the way the Canadians started it, with province by province, state by
state. Yes, indeed. Yep.
Well, we want to thank Richard Gottfried, who has been on the case for quite some time and is kindling the spirit in the rest of us to do what we must. Medicare for all, a much better prescription for a healthcare solution. Richard Gottfried is the chair of the New York State Assembly Health Committee, and we thank you for your work. And we're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're going to be New York State that has a single-payer system to support all of our residents with quality healthcare.
Well, thanks for helping get the word out. That's how we're going to get it done.
And thanks for writing the bill.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I have a dream.
Healthcare.
One day.
Justice. Healthcare. Justice.
America of the people. America by the people. America for the people. Which people are you talking about? Are you talking about the wealthy with the means to stay healthy while 47 million go without? No doubt, we need a revolution. It's time for a brand new healthcare solution. Sing it on behalf of the uninsured, because I believe it's so absurd for America, the so-called greatest nation, to be in a healthcare crisis situation.
Someday, this nation will rise up.
Justice.
Come from the land of milk and honey.
United we stand, divided we fall.
But the healthcare industry's addicted to money.
All for one, not one for all.
47 million in dire straits,
excluded by greed and wealth.
So we got to get united in these states
and put the care back in health.
Come on, y'all. Sing healthcare justice for all.
Justice. Justice.
I have a dream.
how can you sleep knowing you make promises you never keep? Life is short and talk is cheap. Time has come for you to earn your keep. Money and politics corrupting democracy, creating a hopeless healthcare hypocrisy. It's hard to see beyond your illusion. A misconception lies and confusion.
Every hill and mountain could be made low. The rough places could be made plain. And the crooked places could be made straight.
America is a melting pot.
Or is this a false accusation?
Of the have-to-haves and the have-to-have-nots.
We're waiting in anticipation.
Sing up hell like Johnny on the spot.
In every other industrialized nation.
So when will we have what we have not got? Talking about a do-or-die situation.
No, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Healthcare Justice was composed and performed by Charlotte Washington.
We're going to hook up now with comedian actress Lily Tomlin, who appeared as her character Ernestine, the irascible phone operator representative from the now classic TV comic variety show Laugh-In at a California rally in support of healthcare for all. Lily adopts Ernestine's role to play a representative of an HMO, and if you think she was funny, then, wait till you hear her now.
There she is right behind me.
Thank you all. Oh, it's so great to see you all. Thank you. Thank you for having so much energy, so much spirit to come out here. Stand here in the sun. It's inspiring, it's moving, it's motivating. I have been so incredibly worried. I'm just proud to be here at this rally for One Care. And I have to tell you, I do worry. I worry so much because the way you give me a different kind of inspiration, because I usually worry no matter how cynical you become, it's never enough to keep up. But being here today gives me another kind of impetus. Okay, now, I've prepared an Ernestine routine for you. Some of you know Ernestine, some of you don't. But Ernestine used to be a telephone operator at AT&T. And of course, with the divestiture, she couldn't stand that loss of power. So she's moved over to another industry. Care Control Insurance Corp. Claims Department. Ernestine Tomlin speaking. State your record number and be quick about it. Your name is not important. Here we do everything by the numbers. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Oops, and your number is up. Care Control, what's your gripe du jour? No, not covered. You should have read the fine print. Ernestine Tomlin claims, no, that your plan does not cover that. That's an exclusion. No, an exclusion, as in exclude, meaning leave out, cut out, shut out, expel, remove from consideration, make impossible, not gonna happen, forget it, don't make me laugh. Hello, Earth to you, exclusion. It's your nickel, speak up. You were shot in a subway, next time eat at Quiznos. Ernestine claims, you haven't yet seen a doctor? Well, good sir, let's get a specimen of your problem. Remove all your clothing and fold it neatly on a chair. Yes, all of it. Oh, no, don't be that way. After all, your secretary is a professional person. Good sir. Now take your instrument, sit on it, turn your head and cough. Oh, I love this job. Ernestine claims no can do. No, sir. We consider that an elective procedure, meaning we elect not to pay for it. It's not our fault you've had two heart attacks. You should have stopped at one. Tell me, does heart disease run in the family? So the apple doesn't collapse far from the tree. Next life, learn from Dick Cheney. Don't have a heart. Ernestine, angel of mercy, not. Calm down, I can't understand a word you're screaming. I know your hand is broken, you told me that yesterday. Yes, I have your request, you're begging for surgery form in triplicate. Request denied. I can't read this third copy, next time press harder. Your family doctor is not in our coverage area. No, 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 our nearest preferred provider is, let's see, if you hop on a plane right now, you might get there before the blood clot travels to your brain. No, no, the only way I can help is if you go to an acupuncturist. No, no, we don't cover acupuncture. I was just needling you. You must think HMO stands for help me out. We don't care if you're fed up, just if you're paid up. Don't you get it? It takes big bucks to run an insurance company. Medical care is the least of it. You wouldn't believe the paperwork. All this waste doesn't come cheap. Remember, here at Care Control, your health is our business, not our concern. Thank you all. Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.